of benefits, which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification. The benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification are assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Ghost, increase of grace, and perseverance therein to the end.
In this next question, we have a list of things that describe for us the benefits that flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification. So we've already, of course, touched on some of those benefits in the questions themselves, but now we're in the questions about justification, sanctification, and adoption. But now we're talking more about the benefits that the Christian experiences as a result of these things. So again, it's benefits in this life, not the benefits at death, not the benefits at the resurrection, but the benefits at this life, things which we enjoy right now. And I've provided a grid on the board, and I've put abbreviated remarks in each box. But basically what we're doing here is we're taking justification, adoption, and sanctification, and then we're taking these benefits, love, peace, joy, grace, and perseverance, and we're showing how each of these flow out of each of these. So how do those five things come out of justification, out of adoption, out of sanctification? And so let's just cover some of that quickly. So with regards to justification, our experience of love, or the benefit of love, which is the assurance of God's love, as it's described here, we are able to enjoy the pardon that God has given to us. So God has not given us what we deserve, not given us what we've merited, but instead He has loved us from eternity, and He has loved us in sending His Son, and He's loved us in purchasing us with His shed blood, and so on. And so in that pardon that we receive, we enjoy love. We also have peace that comes from justification. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, Paul says to the church at Rome. And so he sprinkles, as it were, our consciences with clean water, and the wrath of God is gone. So in justification, the impending wrath of God is removed because Christ has satisfied it. Now we're clothed in His righteousness. So that's gone. It also gives us joy. Right? This is another thing that Paul highlights with regards to justification, is the joy that we have in believing. We are able to come, as we saw, boldly into the Holy of Holies. And we are able to do so with rejoicing at the pleasure of beholding God and being accepted by Him. The increase of grace comes as well, because having been justified, now we are free and unfettered, if you will, to serve the Lord. We are free to serve Him. We're no longer slaves that belong to the devil. Now we have been liberated and set free to serve God. Perseverance also comes. The Lord grants unto those who have been justified a full, permanent pardon. So when we're pardoned, it's ensuring that we will be pardoned and declared not guilty all through our life, enabling us to show the fruit of perseverance. We come to adoption, we see the same thing, love. Right? The Psalm 103 says that as a father, He has pity toward His children, that He loves us. His love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We have peace with God. God is no longer a foe to us. We are part of His family. We're not enemies of Him. Joy comes to us. The Spirit bearing witness with our spirits that we're children of God. We grow in grace as those who drink the milk of God's Word and grow up into the maturity of eating meat. We persevere. In other words, we'll be in God's house forever. And the adoption is connected to our perseverance in that sense. With regards to sanctification, God makes us like the Son in love. He loves us as sons and daughters and is making us more into the likeness of His Son. We have the spirit of peace. We have the joy of the fruitfulness of the Christian life. And of course, we grow in grace because we, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed from one degree to another by the Spirit into the likeness of Christ Jesus. And then perseverance. The Lord who began the good work in us of sanctification will complete it. He will bring it to completion. I want to talk briefly. We've covered that rather rapidly because I want to spend a little bit of time on the doctrine of assurance. So one of the benefits that flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification is the assurance of God's love. So the assurance of God's love. And we can think in terms of four categories of people. Right? There are four buckets, if you will, that people can fall in. There are those who are assured that they are saved, and they are saved. And then there are those who are assured that they are saved. They feel sure that they're saved, and they are unsaved. So they think they're a Christian, but they're not. There are those who are not assured that they're saved, and they are saved. And then lastly, there are those who are not convinced they're a Christian, and they are right. They're not a Christian. They're unsaved, right? So we have these four categories of people. And when we're talking about the doctrine of assurance, a lot of the discussion applies to these two categories, the second and the third. So those who have a sense or who are persuaded that they're a Christian and they're not. And those who are persuaded that they're not a Christian, or at least they're unsure about it, and they are a Christian. It pertains to those two things. And the reason is because there's a helpful distinction in our Reformed fathers between the assurance of faith and the assurance of sense. Our sense of being saved, or our sense of being converted. Our sensibility, you could almost say, about where we are. And our confession in chapter 18, Westminster Confession, devotes a whole chapter, chapter 18, to the doctrine of assurance. And it's got full, rich material with a full exposition there. I could say the same about perseverance, right? So the doctrine of perseverance is given a whole chapter, chapter 17, where it's unpacked as well. But I want to talk about the components that help us with regards to assurance. How does a person who's not sure whether they're a Christian or not, they're struggling, how do they gain assurance? And there are three components, if you will. There's one component that's objective. Objective means it's outside of ourselves. It's not something that comes from within us. It's something outside of us, right? You're looking at an object that's distant from you. The second is what I'm going to call subjective. And this refers to something that's inside of you. So in English grammar, right, you have the subject of the sentence. That's the one doing the verb, if it's an active verb, right? Whereas the object is the thing that is being acted upon. Right, the verb is doing something to the object. So you can say Johnny hit the ball. Johnny is the subject, the ball is the object, right? So when we speak about something subjective, we're talking about something that relates to us personally. And then the third is, I'm going to call an evidential aspect, all right? So the first part of assurance is related to
The objective part is the promises of God. And this is, in many ways, the big one,
the main one. God's given a revelation to us in His Word, and He's given to us promises. So, for example, He says, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved and thy household. Well, there's a promise. And so the Christian lays hold of that promise. I do believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I'm saved. You can see how the promise is strengthening, reinforcing their assurance. They're exercising faith in God's promises. Here's who God promised to be. Here's what God promised to do. And I am laying hold of it and I'm believing it. And that strengthens, nurtures, increases the assurance that a person has of their salvation. The second one
is what we've referred to earlier in an earlier class, the witness of the Spirit. Right?
Romans 8, Galatians 4. Galatians 4 especially, right? The Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we're children of God. So this is the work of the Holy Spirit who is working in our souls to persuade us and to encourage us and to testify to us, as it were, through the Bible, that we are indeed the children of God. The evidential aspect is the fruit,
or what we call the marks of grace.
So the evidences of grace, or the fruit of faith, the fruit of salvation, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So one example here would be 1 John, where John goes through and he lists all sorts of things. If you're a Christian, this is what it's going to look like. Here are the fruit. If you love God, for example, you're going to love your brethren. So love of the brethren would be a fruit or an evidence or one of the marks of true saving faith. Well, we can go through all sorts of things, right? There's all sorts of things the Bible gives us there. There'll be contrition and sorrow for sin. So like the publican who says, God, be merciful to me, to the sinner, there's a sense of our own spiritual bankruptcy, right? That's a mark of the work of the Holy Spirit in converting a sinner. And then you can take any one virtue, if you will. You can take faith itself and say, okay, what's the difference between saving faith and counterfeit faith? And you can go through the Bible and see all sorts of things that lay out, here are the marks that distinguish true saving faith. And you can do the same with each of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So this would be evidential, and this too strengthens our faith. Strengthens our assurance and our sense that, yeah, here is the ministry, the work of the Holy Spirit in my soul, bringing these things to pass, which I could never do in my own strength and in my own nature, and so on. So the Lord uses all three of these in order to give assurance of salvation to His people. The primary focus is on the promises, and then we have the work of the ministry of the Spirit bearing witness with us, and then thirdly, the evidences or the fruit of the Spirit being born outside of us. So this is the blessing of assurance. If we had time, we could go on and speak about the fact that assurance is not of the essence of faith. So our confession talks about this explicitly. So it is possible to be struggling with assurance, to be struggling with assurance and to still be a Christian. That is possible. So assurance isn't part of the essence or the being or the very definition of faith. You can have faith, true saving faith, and be united to Christ and struggle with assurance. This is an important point pastorally, right? I'm not developing it in this class here, but it's a very important point pastorally, because there are many Christians who are brutalized because they have struggled at different times in their life, perhaps early on in their Christian life or whatever. They've struggled with assurance some. And those who have come to them and said, well, then, you know, This is a part of the essence of faith. You are beating down. You're breaking the bruised reed. You're quenching the smoking flax, right? There's a pastoral impact there where we need to be tender and loving and gracious and supportive of helping the lambs and the wounded to be able to enjoy and to grow into the assurance that God has and does provide for his people. So here we have a list of some of the benefits that the Lord has provided for us in this life. What are the benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification? The benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification are assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Ghost, increase of grace, and perseverance therein to the end.